Super Bowl 56 has just wrapped up, and the Los Angeles Rams are champions of the NFL after an exciting come-from-behind win over the Cincinnati Bengals. It was a night of pageantry, complete with a star-packed halftime show and commercials for crypto and several other goods and services. I'm Stephen Thompson. It is 11:05 p.m. on Sunday, and we are talking about Super Bowl 56 on Pop Culture Happy Hour from NPR.
Support for NPR and the following message come from Talkspace. Are you in a relationship and having some difficulties? Need someone to talk to? Talkspace gives you unlimited access to a licensed therapist that can help you navigate through the tough times and create healthier connections. Join Talkspace today and start the journey to happier, healthier relationships. Just visit Talkspace.com and get $100 off your first month when you use promo code HAPPYHOUR at signup.
Here with me is NPR Music editorial assistant, Leticia Harris. Hey, Leticia.
Hi, Stephen.
It is a pleasure to have you join us for this football-centric conversation.
For some of us.
We are actually going to dispense with the football pretty quickly. The LA Rams overcame key injuries to defeat the Cincinnati Bengals in a tightly fought game. With several lead changes late, the final score was 23-20. In his first year with the Rams, quarterback Matthew Stafford overcame an entire career spent quarterbacking the Detroit Lions when he engineered what turned out to be the game-winning drive. Wide receiver Cooper Kupp capped off his amazing season by winning the game's MVP award, catching two touchdowns. Aaron Donald made two key plays to seal the victory, while wide receiver Odell Beckham Jr. caught a touchdown before suffering a knee injury. At 36, Coach Sean McVay became the youngest head coach ever to win a Super Bowl and concluded the game by taking a Gatorade bath right in the face. And then, of course, there was the halftime show, which showcased some of the biggest stars in the history of hip-hop and R&B. Dr. Dre, Snoop Dogg, Eminem, Mary J. Blige, Kendrick Lamar, and 50 Cent all performed. They even had Anderson .Paak on drums. Leticia, we are not really here to talk about football, but what did you think of the experience of watching Super Bowl 56?
This is my first Super Bowl and my first football game.
Love it.
So it was very jarring and surreal. I didn't know people enjoyed things like this. But earlier you said, Stephen, it was just like a nostalgia trip. I'm not of the age where I would recognize many of those things, but I could tell that it was just heavy pushing on the celebrity cameo propaganda. Like every 5 seconds was just like, I'm supposed to know this face and it's supposed to register for me. I'm sure of it. Who is it registering for? Who am I supposed to be thinking about right now? So that was very weird and jarring, but I guess I had fun.
Were there commercials that stood out for you?
So the Scrubs commercial, I was obsessed with Scrubs as a kid. And I was like, why is Zach Braff here? What has he done recently? And then I was like, oh, yeah, it's going in with a theme. You know, they want me to think about nostalgia and whatnot.
I'm defeated, feel mistreated. I'm so angry, I'm singing a song. Cause I'm paying so much for home internet and that's just wrong.
I was reading Susan Sontag's on photography the other day, and she mentions...
I knew we were going to mention Susan Sontag.
So sorry to bring this up. But she mentions how, like, capitalism is required, or images sustain capitalism. And I was just thinking about how, like, all of these references are purposely engineered so that I'll get this and want to buy whatever they're trying to sell me, but it doesn't work if I don't understand the images. So the need for, like, pop culture to just be in your face all the time to understand more pop culture is just so present in this experience. And I was like, wow, there's a whole Bible of things I don't understand that I would be probably buying more things if I did understand.
You'd be buying all the BMWs and crypto you could afford.
Yeah, not the crypto, but I would be buying all the BMWs. That one worked on me. Like, there were a lot of commercials where I was like, this is working for me. Yeah, I get it. I want that.
Yeah, I have to say, I found it absolutely remarkable how much the experience of watching this game felt lifted straight out of the experience of watching a Super Bowl 20 to 25 years ago. The number of parallels, pop culturally speaking, sports-wise, ad-wise, really took me aback. I mean, the Rams sealed a Super Bowl victory with a dramatic defensive play. That happened in the late 90s. There is a huge tech bubble with ads for stupid stuff of questionable value. That is right out of the dot-com boom. There were a whole bunch of early 2000s bangers in the halftime show, just right off the radio circa 2002. You had ads referencing, you mentioned Scrubs, but also The Sopranos,
yep.
The Cable Guy.
Yes.
I did not have The Cable Guy on my Super Bowl bingo card. Austin Powers. I mean, the Austin Powers revival was inevitable.
I will help save the world first, then take over the world.
You mentioned just this endless parade of references, but it is really surprising just how much of it was fed to us over the course of the game. All it was missing was like the Super Bowl teams reading the Declaration of Independence
yes.
during the pregame show in the spirit of post-September 11th for how much...
Steven!
For how much the experience felt lifted straight out of the past.
I can't wait to see what Super Bowl 76 yeah. will be like.
I did want to add... commercials wise. I mean, you mentioned the BMW ad working for you. The BMW ad was the one with Arnold Schwarzenegger and Salma Hayek.
Oh, God, that was such a good one.
I have to say, very well-made commercial. There were several that, you know, had lots of star power, were funny, but I couldn't believe how infrequently I could tell you what an ad was for 30
yeah.
seconds after it was over, which just feels like just a mass failure on the part of the advertising industry.
Yeah, I was thinking that crypto ad where the screen was bouncing up against the wall. I was like, it took me forever, firstly, to realize that they wanted me to go to that. I was like, when is this going to start? And then I finally did it. And I was like, oh, of course it's crypto. Why the heck am I looking at this?
My family did it and was furious.
My roommates and I were like mad. We were like, why in the world did we waste our time doing this? But it's like, that's such a huge advertising risk to one, think people are going to be proactive enough to get off their
right.
butts and like look at this ad, but then also do what with it? Look at it?
I couldn't tell you. I also have to say, one of the few ads where I came away from it knowing exactly what the product was for was the ad for the Amazon Echo and the Alexa feature. And the ad features Colin Jost and Scarlett Johansson, and they're living their lives. They're a couple. And I was very taken aback by how much it made me want to buy an Amazon Echo, even
yeah.
less than I already did.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I love that we get to sleep in.
Ordering fresh mint mouthwash. Extra strength.
I'm thinking I should get a spray tan, you know, because that's on Wednesday.
Activating blender.
Funeral's on Monday.
I feel like what worked with the Super Bowl is that they know exactly how to program us and like get to what they want us to do. But then because they're so self-aware of what we need to be manipulated by them, like it ends up not working and failing miserably. Like I saw that and I was like, I am never, ever going to do or watch anything involving Scarlett Johansson again just because of this. Like
this was what pushed you over the edge.
I know. And there have been many things for me to stay where I was, but this is where I have to draw the line.
All right. Well, let's talk halftime show because... we had tons of stars, many names to choose from. What about the halftime show did and didn't work for you?
I'm going to throw another wild card at you.
Okay.
That whole halftime performance felt like that moment in Catching Fire by Suzanne Collins, great writer,
mm-hmm.
when the victors are trying to, you know, subtly resist against the Capitol in their interviews, and then they end mm-hmm. up, like, enraging the audience.
Mm-hmm.
It just felt like these were little, like, avatars of blackness moving around the stage and being like, we're here, we matter, we can't ignore our voices. And then you can just see the holes in everything they're doing, like Kendrick censoring All Right and taking out We Hate the Popo. What's the point of that?
Looking at the world like, where do we go? And we ain't wanna kill a dead in the street for show. I'm at the preacher door, knees getting weak, blood might flow, we gon' be all right.
I think on one hand, it's very impressive that given how much fear-mongering was around like rap music in the 90s, that we can see hip hop and how it's evolved and its cultural capital. But I don't think that really translates at the Super Bowl to, you know, the progress of actual race relations, if that makes sense. Like, yeah, Snoop Dogg crip walked at the Super Bowl and it was really cool, but he did it after the city of Los Angeles swept homeless encampments from under the 405. So like, it was the most grotesque and thrilling thing I've ever seen. And I just don't know what to make of what I saw. Like, it ended and I was like, I'm shaking, but I don't know why. It was terrifying.
Well, grotesque and thrilling. I just want to unpack that a little bit because that is quite a bundle of sensations.
I was so tense afterward, and then we immediately went into the touchdown, and I was like, there's so many emotions going on. But it's just like, it felt like specifically targeting Black millennials to remind them of how great their lives are and how great it is to be Black without acknowledging anything about, you know, the current status of Black music and Black music history. It's like the Super Bowl rebranded to be like Black Lives Matter, Black Power, all these things. And then had the Black Avengers come on stage and like remind everyone how great it is to be Black. And it just didn't connect fully for me. And I think it's because it's so engineered to be a part of a larger movement and a larger statement that it really doesn't say anything. Like, it's just like, this is just the most performative thing that they could do. And it was very fitting in well with like all the rest of the shock value of the rest of the Super Bowl. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And I mean, in a way, it was of a piece with the NFL, right? Like, you're watching this and you were filled with conflicting emotions. You're seeing Dr. Dre up there kind of taking a victory lap. Well, Dr. Dre has been accused of violence against women on numerous occasions. Not that the NFL has a problem with that. There is a lot of yeah, but when you're watching the Super Bowl. There's a lot of yeah, but when you're watching football. Like, I have loved football for decades. I have been a football fan for decades. I've watched God knows how many games. But you are watching it with this voice in the back of your head going, should I be watching this? Should I be watching this? Should I be watching this? And I think the halftime show continued with that in its own way for reasons that you're describing and that I've just mentioned. I have to kick myself because in the days leading up to the game, I really thought, for some reason, I was sure that Kendrick Lamar was going to drop new music.
Oh, yeah.
Leading into the Super Bowl. And of course, what we got that entire show was everybody playing the greatest hits.
Yep.
This was a very brief survey of, you know, six different artists. You have 50 Cent hanging upside down and doing his greatest hit. You know, you have Kendrick, who feels like he's just shot out of a cannon in the middle of all of this nostalgia, to suddenly have a song that feels as vital as All Right does, and a performer as vital as he is. But even he's kind of playing his best-known song. Mm-hmm. You're getting this big survey, but you're not necessarily getting a chance to really latch on to the momentum of a single artist's set.
Exactly. And you're getting Kendrick's best song, quote-unquote, you know, completely sanitized without the context that makes it so powerful and moving. Like, it is a protest song, but that wasn't a protest. That was a very well put together and choreographed performance. It felt like they wanted it to be as Black as possible for the Super Bowl that they could get away with, you know? Like, there was so much censorship going on. And Eminem taking a knee for Dr. Dre or Colin Kaepernick, it's pretty hard to decide. He ends up being, you know, the savior of the halftime show and being the one who actually gets to make the statement because everyone else is censored. And it's like, okay, are we saying what we want to say right now? Are we putting forth our best effort? It was just weird. It was so conflicting to me tonally.
Yeah, and at the same time, I have to confess, watching Snoop Dogg perform while smiling.
Yes, it was sweet. Top golf, bottom all, yeah, I'm burning it up. DPGC, go ahead and turn it on up. CPT, LBC, yeah, we hook it back up. And when they bang this in the club, baby, you got to get up. Thug, homie, draw, homie, yeah, they. You know, he's performing on, like, a billion-dollar stage in Inglewood. And, like, clearly having the time of his life. And it's just interesting. I feel like we've been watching Snoop Dogg phone it in for like a really long time, where Snoop Dogg's always just kind of too cool for whatever he's doing. So he's usually doing something with like Martha Stewart or whatever. And, some brand partnership, yeah.
Yeah, but like he just kept grinning. And I have to say, like, for all of the conflicted emotions that I was feeling, I don't know why I suddenly felt this emotional connection to Snoop Dogg and watching him smile. I mean, there was this moment of triumph that I did appreciate. To have hip-hop and R&B be given a classic rock moment the way The Who or Tom Petty were given classic rock moments on the Super Bowl stage in the past.
And it comes after, what, Snoop Dogg getting ownership of Death Row Records.
Yeah.
So it's a very interesting moment to have all this tie together so neatly. And I feel like, though, Stephen, that triumph that you're talking about is the nostalgia working. Like, you feel connected to Snoop Dogg because that's Snoop Dogg. He's been around forever. It's like...
Forever?
Yeah. I love Snoop Dogg. Everyone does.
He and I have both been around forever. Look at us.
We've made it.
All right, well, we want to know what you think about this year's Super Bowl and its Super Bowl halftime show and the commercials. Find us at facebook.com/PCHH and on Twitter at PCHH. That brings us to the end of our show. Leticia, thanks so much for being here.
Thanks, Stephen. Thanks for having me.
And before we go, leading up to the Oscars, we're going to be talking about the best picture winners, and we want to know what you think. What is the best picture winner? You can vote now at npr.org/best picture. Again, you can vote at npr.org/best picture. We will see you all tomorrow when we'll be talking about the HBO series Somebody Somewhere.